The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk to the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This last week, the pastor and I, Jason and Joe, we wrestled with busy. We prayed through it and thought through it. It's so easy. Even walking through the season of life I'm in right now, the noise of this world is so quick to enter. It is a constant fight. It is. To be still, to rest, and to delight in Jesus Christ. This morning I'm going to share out of Galatians chapter 3. As Paul calls out to the church in Galatians, and calls them foolish. They have turned from the Spirit. They began to return back to the law and to works, which they were rescued from. So we're going to continue our time in song, but before we do that, I want to encourage the church this morning. I'm going to invite a new brother of mine, Mike Keller, to the front. Mike. Mike and I began a relationship, say, about a month ago, 3 months ago? I mean, 3 weeks ago, you would say, yeah. Yeah, a couple months. We began talking and just about Jesus, talking about life, started with just life. And we all know how that gets. We're in the middle of it. Mike's name crossed my table, so my wife and I just responded. I went to his doorstep, and we were able to meet him and Holly. And I remember Holly from school. We reunited a friendship that we had in school, just a reminder. And at that point, Jesus was working and beginning to work in Mike's life. Mike came to home group and began to study through the Multiply with us, and there's some tough questions in there. And then he just shared his heart with us. And all he was looking for was Jesus. Jesus. The church is a byproduct. The love, the community, the byproduct of Jesus and what he's done. So we began to meet at Whistle Stop, and still meeting. And we met, I guess it was last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, I forget the days, they're all jumbled. We met to have lunch, and he looked me in the eye and said, Casey, he joined us last Sunday here in the Oaks. He sat back there in the corner, and some brothers of mine were able to pray with him after the service. And he came up to me and said, I want you to know there's something real. Something's happening in my life. And I even saw it when he walked through Whistle Stop. There was a different light about him. There's a weight lifted. It was a peace of mind that he discovered in Jesus Christ. So this morning, it's exciting for me to introduce to you Mike as a brother in Jesus Christ. He'll be baptized soon, and we'll invite all of you to be a part of that. So I bring him before you because we all know this road of opposition. When you get into the war and you're fighting for the sake of Jesus Christ, life doesn't change. Our perspective does, and how we do life together. So I asked Mike if I could bring him forward for us to pray for him. One, to let you know that his new walk has began with Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that he needs our love. He needs our friendships. That's how it works. The church is a two-way street. So you know his face, and I encourage you to introduce yourself. You may be overwhelmed, brother, because I know a lot of people in here are going to love you. There's no doubt. And Mike, you know, just walking through life, looking for some things, looking for work, and just want to be vocal with the church in case you know something. There's several men in this congregation right now looking for work. So I want to give that message to the church. If you know something, let me know, let one of the pastors know. But more importantly, right now, I want to pray. And pray for you, Mike. And then I'm going to ask some gentlemen that may feel comfortable to come and pray and lay hands on our brother. If you could, just make your way to the front right now. And just don't feel obligated, but if you feel that you would like to come pray for Mike, I want him to see the picture of what that looks like and the support you have here at this faith family. Lord, I thank you for Mike. Lord, I pray as he feels the hands, it's a weight of support. And God, he will trust that. Lord, I pray for provision in his life that only comes from your Spirit alone. I pray in practical ways that you will meet needs that surpasses his understanding and that comes from you alone. He is our brother and Father. Use us to minister to his family, not only to him, but with him to others. As we learn to be your church here in this community, we are redeemed. We are justified. Thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you, brother.
Thank you.
Just have a seat, brother. You're good. There's so many ways I could go with this. Faces. We've all, most of us in this room, have found our place at that day where we're redeemed. God has called us out of the mire to love us. Some of us, this is your first time back with a faith family in a long time. Welcome. I trust the men and women in this group, they will love you. Some of you have been walking with the Lord very straight, very honest, serving him, and it's obvious. But over this next song, I want us to remember that day. We've all been there. We've all been rescued. And we've all been redeemed. This morning, we'll be in Galatians chapter 3. If you go ahead and open up your word, the word to that chapter. It's good to come and rest, and to do it with the church, corporate setting. But it's even sweeter doing it by yourself, with God. To get alone and quiet, to get alone, whatever circumstance it is, wherever life is at, we view it good or bad, wherever you are. It's good to get alone with God. Right. It's his desire, it's fellowship with his church. We're easy and it's quick for us to do it with a group of people, such as Sunday mornings, home groups. It's easy. But for some reason, there's this inner wrestle for us when it comes to starting the day or getting along any time, any hour of the day, and just sit. Rest. Individually, I know I've, throughout my life and walk with Jesus Christ, that's always been an inner struggle for me. And recently, with the events in our lives, and not just our life personally, but with other, with death that's surrounding us. I'll be honest about funeraled out. But it's a part of life. And just learning quickly to find that rest and peace is just as quick in the valley as we do when things are going well. Some message from Paul this morning. In the first five verses of Galatians chapter 3, it crafts some notable claims addressing concerns in the early church. Concerns that are often missed
even today's church. Yet it's absolutely critical as a disciple of Jesus Christ that we learn what it looks like to walk as a New Testament church in today's context. We learn leading up to our study in the second half of chapter 2 that we are saved when we stop trusting in our moral efforts of the law and begin to trust in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Last week we celebrated that we are justified by Christ alone. Mike walks justified. Josh, you walk justified. Ryan, we all, Jared, we walk in this newness of life that only comes from Jesus Christ alone. In Galatians chapter 2, to revisit where Pastor Joe was last week in verse 15, he says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." We are justified in Christ alone. Therefore, this should send us, it should transcend us. As we trust in the work of Christ, it should stir a new motive in our life. When our life is fixed on Jesus Christ and all that we do, our lives are different. And they are different for the glory of God and the sake of Jesus Christ. And in this life, Paul initially demonstrated to the church in Galatians that he was living a life that mirrored the grace of God. Remember Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9? Pastor Joe reminded us that he was formerly known as Saul, and he inflicted havoc upon the early church. I want to revisit Acts chapter 7 to learn of one of these accounts. This is Stephen. I'll be in Acts chapter 7 briefly. Feel free to turn there. Stephen is speaking freely to the people, the ones he's been proclaiming and trying to share the truth and the word. And he says in verse 51, he says, "You stiff necked people, uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did you hear, fathers, did you not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by the angels did not keep it." In verse 54 it says, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged at Stephen, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice." Listen, church. He cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. Stephen's plea, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Wow. Saul experienced God's grace long before his conversion to Christianity. And now as he shepherds the church in Galatia, he's living it out in demonstration. So we turn to chapter 3 this morning, and Paul makes a few claims to the church. As we pick up in chapter 3 in Galatians, we're going to read 1 through 5, and that's all we're going to be there today. Let's read it together. chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. And let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? And if indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? We look at Paul in chapter 3 and we read in verse 1, he is obviously distraught with his wayward flock. He uses the language, O foolish Galatians. His emotions are clearly displayed for right reason. It implies that the church has departed from the true gospel. And departure from the gospel will bring destruction in the future. And if we recount a few weeks ago, Pastor Joe taught us that if we turn our attention to a different gospel and begin to trust in a false gospel, it will ultimately lead to division. Church, we must cling to what is right in the eyes of Christ. If we arbor and protect the gospel as the church established in this community, it will naturally advance itself. Men and women of generations will begin to see grace displayed in our lives by the work of Jesus Christ in us and through us. Stephen says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's a mirror of grace. We must learn to walk in that same image, Christ. Men and women will recognize it. We will no longer wait to see what we can do right in the eyes of God, but quickly learn to embrace delight, to sit and to pray, and to earnestly seek and understand that He guides our path to live every day. We have to understand that and learn to be a congregation that wakes up. We do not wait for Sunday morning gathering. We wake up, Father, guide my steps. Guide my steps. If you hear anything this morning, let that be a prayer leaving out of this congregation. Father, guide my steps. Paul's plea in verse 1 starts with a question. Who has bewitched you? In other words, who has charmed you? Who has fascinated you? The language used here was often used in the day to relate with a pagan magic. I can understand why Paul used language such as foolish and bewitched to stir their attention. The gospel was at stake. Paul used the necessary means to stir an aggression or an attention to the early church because he knew that the true gospel was at stake. False teachers were infecting the church, navigating away from the truth, leading them back into the way of works. And I stand before you today with a very disheartening truth. Unfortunately, we are all too familiar with this. We are surrounded with many men and women who exercise their faith out in the same way. I'm guilty. I've been there, and I find myself wrestling not to go back. We find ourselves trying to work our faith out in works, not by faith. And I stand here to proclaim a simple but necessary truth. Our faith is in Christ alone. He will work in us and through us to complete His task. It's not by our works. They will be a byproduct of the Spirit empowering us and moving through us. And we recognize the actions by the Galatians that Paul pleads with them to return to the Spirit and not the law. And if they want to finish this race, they must rely on the Spirit's empowering presence. This is crucial for us as well. How can we promote the presence of the Spirit? Ask that question. How can I promote the presence of the Spirit? Or more accurately, by what means does God pour out the Spirit into our lives? How does He pour the Spirit out into our lives? In verse 3, chapter 3, 5, Paul is clear. God is the one who supplies the Spirit to His church. Therefore, how can we finish our race, a race that God has placed us in, by the Spirit and not by flesh? We are in this community for a reason. You are in your context for a reason. You are using your hands at work for a reason, more than paying bills or enjoying life. You are called to a greater task, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, individually. But the early church here is very clear that they were wayward. They are moving away from this true gospel. So this morning I suggest three truths to you to help us finish this race. And the first one we'll find in verse 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Paul reminds the church how they began their life in the Spirit. And if something, it was something they observed. They looked into Paul's eyes. They looked at his life. And if the church in Galatia came after the resurrection and death of Jesus Christ, but Paul says it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified, how is this so? How can he ask this question when the death of our Savior happened prior to the establishment of the church? The answer is this: through Paul's life. Remember? Paul's conversion from Saul to Paul after persecuting the church now lives by grace. We learned earlier in our study that he mirrored grace to this church. He lived out his life even to the point of suffering. As a result of many trials and troubles, he indeed proclaims, I have been crucified with Christ. Chapter 2, let's revisit that together. Chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul proclaims, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I do not nullify the grace of God, for it is righteousness, where through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let me read 21 again. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. The truth is this: the Spirit comes because of what Christ did on the cross. John 14:26, he's teaching his disciples that God will send a helper, a counselor, the Holy Spirit, and he will teach us all things. This is important to pick up on this morning. Holy Spirit is our helper. I remind you, he will teach you all things. This helper leads our path. And we understand why a true believer cannot lose union, cannot use union with the Spirit, he can interrupt his communion with the Spirit. We cannot lose union with the Spirit, but we can lose communion. So I plead again, walking, waking daily. We must look into our hearts this morning. We are guilty. Are we guilty? Ask guilty of cheating what Christ did on the cross? If righteousness is through the law, Paul teaches, then Christ died for no purpose. Like the early church, we were reminded this morning, and returning to this sacred place daily is essential. To kneel daily, to seek daily, rest daily, and to find delight daily and count it all what Christ has done on the cross is critical when we wake up each morning. We understand that God used His Son on a cross to open the door into our sinful lives. Then how do we open the door to respond to God at work in our lives? How do we do that? So we learned that three truths to help us finish our race. Number one, that God supplies the Spirit through the cross. Number two, God supplies the Spirit in response to hearing with faith. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? We must understand Paul's motive behind the questions. This is critical here. He asked to get them to think for themselves, rhetorical questions. And Paul begins to show how illogical it is for the Galatians to seek a fuller, quotation marks, Christian life through observing the law. Did God give them the Spirit and work miracles in their presence because they observed the law? No. It was a result of hearing the gospel and having faith in Jesus Christ. Worked miracles in the church. They heard and they responded and they received the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enters the Christian life and saving faith, sanctifying us, empowering us to live this life here on earth in various kinds of ministry. The Helper is crucial in our walk with Jesus Christ. So as we wrestle with this passage as pastors this week, as God is forming clearly a congregation, we must constantly wake up and understand that God is moving in me. And God's desire is to move through me. His Spirit is here to help. God supplies the Spirit in response to hearing with faith. I love how Paul reminded the early church of this encounter. He says, were you saved by law? Or are you saved by the revelation of the Spirit of God in you? He knew they would remember this. So I will pose the same question to you today. As we sat under the song, Redeemed. Do you remember? Were you saved by law? No, you were saved by hearing the gospel and having faith in Jesus Christ. Just that truth alone and what He did on the cross should transcend us and compel us into this holy living in pursuit of Christ. That is good news. If you will take the time and think about that every day, wake up and say, "You saved me. You rescued me. That is good." Paul does the same thing to the church with his questions and the way he articulated. And grace through faith alone will compel us into a Christian life of holy pursuit. And we receive the Spirit not by works of the law, but rather hearing with faith. It is this faith that not only begins, but will continue us through our lives. We're so quick as the church to pursue God and ask. But just as quick as we ask, we don't listen. Or we don't rest long enough. Or we don't receive the answer. We've got to continue to learn and to work this out, this faith in our lives, to respond to the Spirit of God. It is critical to our walk. So we know that the cross of Christ and hearing with faith are the two truths. I finish with one last one. We read in chapter 3 and 4, we learn that Paul is reminding them again of their suffering. Read that together with me. Chapter 3, verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed, it was in vain. That leads me to the third truth this morning, is that God supplies the Spirit in the midst of suffering. We all relate to this. And He uses this question, and He poses it to them because in their time, the Spirit was very generous to that early church because when they confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in their new faith, opposition occurred. They were moving to a different beat. They experienced various challenges and hardships, but they pressed through by the grace of God and the Spirit of God. many of us treat the Holy Spirit as if it was a guest in our home. We're all guilty. We mop the kitchen, we fold the clothes, we put the dishes away, and if you're good, you got freshly cut flowers, your refrigerator stocked. We had this idea that he only will show in our lives when our minds thinks that we're all well and good, that we have to have this perfection, things in order. And if I recall, Jesus called him helper. Our understanding of this helper must be clear. In all circumstances, to receive help, a mount of pride should fall. I'm a man. I get it. I've had conversations with people in this room about things that I've tried to do and didn't work out. They wanted to help and I didn't want to help. We're all guilty of it. But that wasn't how the church and family were created. The helper is in the same light. If we were to receive help, pride must fall. And to receive help, pleads must be proclaimed. And if you speak with any seasoned disciple of Christ, he or she would tell you that in their walk and suffering, they've never experienced a sweeter grace. The Spirit is there. And Paul testifies, when we are weak, he is strong. We even teach our children that song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We will teach our kids that he is strong when we are weak. But then we find ourselves as men and women wrestling with a pride, this confidence that falls. One thing I've learned in the recent tragedy in my life, and I've shared it with a few people, I would tell them, be weak. I'm weak. It's part of life right now. And to be quite frank, I hope I never lose it. His strength is great. His strength is good. His Spirit is supplied in my weakness. His Spirit is supplied in my suffering. His Spirit is supplied in my faith to trust Him. I do not know what comes at lunchtime. I do not know what... You do not know. You just got to trust. You have faith. The Spirit works. It works deep. You do not understand it. So we learn that God supplies the Spirit in our suffering. He supplies Spirit through hearing of faith. And He supplies His Spirit through the cross. Today I'm guilty, we are guilty, of approaching God in this academic fashion. To study details. We've all searched for all the answers in life to figure out the mysteries, even to the point of trying to prove that my Savior is real. We process this in our minds, but have we forgotten that our minds are finite and our God created the heavens? Have we strayed so far to forget that our faith came in Christ through the revelation in our hearts? I can't tell you how many times I have talked with man and woman and wrestled with it myself. I don't understand why they do not see Jesus. I don't understand why they want to walk the way they want to walk. I don't understand. But if I would pause and just sit still, I do. The revelation comes through Jesus Christ alone. It comes from God alone, His Spirit, and them hearing and having faith in Jesus Christ. My position here is to live out and mirror the grace of God. That's my position here. To be a brother, to be a sister, to receive my position as pastor in this community, to respond to a call in my life. That's what I'm here for. Salvation comes from Jesus alone. Not by the way the words that I can articulate or the schemes or the fabricated emotion that I could try to create. It's not by that at all. Think about it. Think about the day we were redeemed and God called you. It wasn't by anything anyone else said, any pastor. It was by the word God. Trust that, church. Trust it. I'm learning to do the same. Trust it. If we're not cautious, we are guilty of losing our course in this race. Trusting only in what we know or attempt to retain. So in closing, I urge you this morning, not only to look to God, to know Him, but pray. Pray for Him to reveal Himself to you. Healthy balance is found when a man's thoughts are his thoughts, his desires are God's desires, his ways are the Lord's ways. Pray, Lord, your thoughts be my thoughts, as I learn for my thoughts to be your thoughts. We need this. We've got to wake up every morning and trust that Spirit to guide us and lead us. Man's desires are his desires. And this only happens. Our desires are only God's desires. It's only when we align ourselves to walk in step with the Spirit of God. Trust, church. Listen. And obey the revelation in your heart. Obey it. Don't just obey it in your mind, but obey it in your heart. I see brothers all the time, they know the Bible backwards and forwards more than I can even think about comprehending. But it's clear after quick conversations and examining their lives, they need more than that. There is a balance, church, of knowing God, learning God, asking for revelation to live it in us and through us as His church. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Pray. We hear your word. Lord, we know that you use Paul clearly here to stir the hearts of your church. Using language is foolish. Lord, are we sitting in this room being foolish? If we are, Spirit, you are here. Convict us. Spirit, guide us. Lord, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for his honesty. We thank you for his pointedness and how he will just be so clear to cling to the true gospel. Lord, we learn to do the same. May we mirror, church, pray with me. May we mirror the image of God and His grace our lives to everyone that we engage and encounter. That's our prayer, Father. Your Spirit. It is unfamiliar to many people in this room. Even our definition and understanding of your Spirit. God, give us clarity that it is simply a helper. It is a counselor. It is not emotion. It is not shiftiness. Lord, it is wisdom to walk this life with our eyes fixed on you. Lead us, Lord. Shepherd your church. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.